Changes to the Thrift Savings Plan's G Fund appear to be off the table now as Congress tries to figure out a solution to its fiscal 2016 budget problem. But that doesn't mean you should stop thinking about how changes to your retirement plans might affect you. And it doesn't mean Congress is out of the business of talking about retirement. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director of the National Institute of Transition Planning. It's great to talk to you. As always, Tammy, you're writing about managing your thrift savings plan investment. And you mentioned just before we went on the air, the TSP yesterday came out with some new information about managing your plan. What did the TSP have to say?
Hi, Francis. Yeah, the TSP is sending out an advisory notice to agencies when they're choosing financial education vendors to come into the agency and talk to their employees about planning for retirement, because the fear is that you may be bringing someone in like the wolf into the lion's den or whatever you want to call it, because they may be coming in to serve their own best interests more than to serve the interests of the employees who are trying to plan for their retirement.
I told you before we went on the air, I continue to be amazed at how the financial services industry is pushing back on potential legislation that the Labor Department is proposing to require financial advisors to be fiduciaries for the customers that they're serving rather than for their own interests. And the law that the Labor Department's proposing, the regulation, would require very clear statements of what the costs would be, what the fees are that would be associated with any products that the financial advisors would sell. And that's something that I think is really important to keep in mind and that fits with what it sounds like the TSP wants the agencies to be aware of. And that is, in many cases, the financial advisors make their money from selling products to their customers. And that's not bad. That's not wrong. But it's not always a relationship that I think is clear to the people who are going to these financial advisors. Is that a fair statement on my part, do you think, Tammy?
Yeah, Francis, I think that for the most part is pretty fair, that the advisors do have to make a living.
Sure.
So you have to realize they have to make money, whether it's charging a fee or a commission or whatever the product is that they're using to help you reach your financial goals. But the real key is to make sure that that advisor you're working with is looking out for your best interest and looking at your whole situation as far as the goal you're trying to achieve. And it's hard to do that when you're hiring someone. Just like you hire a doctor to help you cure an illness, you have to have trust in that person and know that they're educated and they're looking out for your best interest. So TSP does give some suggestions for helping employees be aware of hiring someone that's doing a good job for them. And one of them is just to make sure they have a professional designation. You know, if they have a certified financial planner behind their name or a chartered financial consultant behind their name, that means they had to adhere to some specific ethical standards. So that in itself may be a little bit helpful, at least helping you weed out the ones that might be not looking out for your best interest. Also, make sure they disclose any conflicts of interest before they work with you. Make sure you understand how they're going to get paid, you know, what's the manner of their compensation. And do your due diligence. You know, look at the Securities and Exchange Commission. You can find a broker check there that can look up any kind of problems there have been with that particular financial advisor. So there's lots of things people can do, whether you're individual or whether it's the agency, when you're trying to find someone to help you with your financial goals.
You're writing in your latest column about risk and retirement, about managing your TSP investment, and you write in this column, participants subject to the new default investment rules will get a letter from the TSP that includes risk information as required by the Smart Savings Act. The investment risks are credit risk, currency risk, inflation risk, market risk, prepayment risk. Now, rather than going through the details of all of those, Tammy, I want to talk more broadly about the concept of risk, because it is something that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. Just look and see how many people are entirely in the G Fund, in the Thrift Savings Plan, because they don't want to take any chances. And I'm curious as to the questions that you get asked when you go to seminars about risk and about how people think about risk and the way they make decisions.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times we don't really understand how the word risk applies to investing, because I was just teaching a class yesterday where there was a common misconception that as you get closer to retirement, you need to move everything to the G Fund. And meanwhile, the group I was talking to were law enforcement officers who were going to retire at age 50. And if you're 50 years old, you still have hopefully half of your life ahead of you, or at least most of half of your life ahead of you. And so therefore, you still need to accept some level of risk in your investing to allow for the growth that you need to have. You know, we all have risk every day in our life. If we go on the beltway around Washington and drive, we're putting our lives at risk. And so the way we manage that risk is we drive a safe car, we drive carefully and defensively. And it's the same thing when we're managing our investments. We have to accept a certain level of risk, but we have to manage that risk by diversifying our investments, by understanding how those investments each work, and how understanding how the investments will perform both in the past but also going forward. So I think we do have to get better educated when it comes to understanding risk for retirement planning.
There's another element there, too, using the example that you did with the law enforcement officers that you were talking to, of what I call a terminology confusion. And that is that a lot of the discussion around retirement revolves and money revolves around when are you going to retire, and that's how people make and base their decisions, when the reality of it is when you need the money is really what the decision is going to be. And so, for example, your law enforcement folks are a great example of that. Yeah, they're going to retire at age 50, but they're not going to start taking their money out of the TSP at age 50. I hope that they have some other, you know, a second career that they're able to do just from the point of view of driving their spouses crazy, if nothing else.
Well, I know, but I think a few of them that I was talking to were planning to stop working at age 50. At least they were going to try it. So, again, you have to have realistic goals because, as we know, you know, if we do live a long time and we're trying to live at least partly off of our savings, those savings could eventually run out. And, you know, starting to withdraw those down at age 50, if you're taking a big chance on future investment returns and how much you're going to need to live in the future with inflation and everything else that might impact your life. So, yeah, you're right. You have to have those realistic goals as well as understand how to manage the risk in your investing.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. And that takes us to a column that you wrote not long ago about the fact that it's never too early to start. A lot of folks get to my age, I just turned 50, and start thinking about retirement and, okay, now I'm going to plan, what am I going to do? And yes, if you haven't done it up till now, it's a good time to start. But there are a lot of folks that believe that if I'm just thinking about it now, having just turned 50, Tammy, I wasted a lot of time, didn't I?
Well, yeah, you did, but you can't, you know, as they always say, you can't cry over spilt milk. You can only move forward, and there's always a solution to a problem. In some cases, if you didn't start to plan until mid-career, then you just need to plan a little harder. You need to do a little bit more, maybe make it hurt a little bit more when you're saving. But if you have a goal that you do want to stop working, and who knows, your health may prevent you from working one day, you still have to plan for that eventual time in your life when maybe you have to cut back or stop producing in your career and living on those retirement benefits, whether they're coming from Social Security or your government pension or from your savings and investments.
All right, here's the good news. If I'm not 50, if I'm 40 or 30 or younger, I can get ahead of the game pretty easily by starting now, right?
Absolutely. And I'm starting to see, this is really encouraging, I'm starting to see younger employees really start to think about that and take that advice from either their parents or their mentors at work to go ahead and start planning early. If you do the 5% and get the matching on your TSP when you're in your 20s, you won't have to make the catch-up contributions when you're in your 50s, and you won't have to work until you're in your 70s because you didn't plan. So I think the whole key to it is being consistent, start early, just keep doing it, and just don't even think about it. It's part of your overall retirement planning and financial planning to prepare for the future.
It is so easy in the thrift savings plan, too. What I have noticed is you have some information about it in your column that most of the people that go into the thrift savings plan when they're auto-enrolled now, you're auto-enrolled into the G fund, and a lot of people just don't touch it and don't think about it, and they're really missing out on opportunities to get into one of the life cycle funds. The TSP would like to switch the auto-enrollment to an appropriate life cycle fund so that people can avoid some of the traps, actually, of being stuck in the G fund for decade after decade.
Yeah, and actually, Francis, that did take effect this month, that the TSP now has the life cycle funds as the default. That finally took effect in September, so just this month. And that applies to all new hires, and it also applies to people who are just coming back to federal service who don't have any money left in their thrift. They may have withdrawn it, or they may not have contributed. So now employees are automatically placed in an age-appropriate life cycle fund when they're either hired for the first time or rehired, or even people who become survivor beneficiaries of a TSP account.
Tammy, always great to talk to you. Terrific insight. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Francis.